here at the 2019 World Credit Union Conference in the Bahamas, Caroline Willard.
Oh, yeah.
The Bahamas. Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you, and I'm so happy to be here. It's gorgeous outside. Yeah. We didn't get the crazy storms that we thought
the forecast said thunderstorms every day, and it's beautiful outside.
It has been beautiful.
Who knows? And the water, I keep talking about the water. The color of the water is amazing here.
It looks like an Instagram photo with a lot of filters on
exactly,
it.
Exactly, only it's real.
It's real.
All right, so how's the conference going for you? I know we're kind of still in the beginning stages of it, but how's it going for you?
It is going great. And the crazy thing is that my main reason for coming was to absorb all of the goodness that the Global Women's Leadership Network events had to offer. A lot of those have been sort of front-loaded, so I've already been going to events
and
learning and absorbing and just finding out what the best practices are, what's working really well, because you may already know that in the Cornerstone region, we're standing up 6 different sister societies.
Yes, I heard.
So, you guys are rocking. We're doing it, and honestly, we're sort of going, okay, well, what exactly does that mean? I mean, we think we know that it's about lifting up women and creating greater expertise and opportunities for women in leadership.
Right.
But to hear what some of the women are doing around the world is just humbling.
Yes, it's humbling. Yeah, humbling, inspiring, all those good words. Yeah, it's amazing. Because I had Samantha Paxton in here and Cheryl Middleton Jones in here. Andrea Rusnak. I mean, obviously, all folks that are heavily involved in the global women's leadership. And I'm asking this, like, what impact has this had on the industry? Because it's growing, like, the last 3 or 4 years, it's really almost exploded.
It really, really
so
has.
So the growth has been phenomenal. What's the impact that you're seeing on the industry?
It has. And I'm sure you've heard someone say that we're now up to 100 sister societies worldwide.
Yeah.
And so I can tell you for me personally, this has a lot of meaning. And Samantha may have mentioned this too, that we both worked for Stan Holland.
Yeah.
He was the first winner of Global Women's Leadership Network's Athena Award. And he did that, or he got that, because he's been such a good champion for women. And so I knew a lot earlier in my career that I wanted to be that kind of leader who was deliberate about lifting up women. And I sent Stan a text this morning, and I said, hey, I'm going to talk to Mike Lawson today. And I said, I want to be able to do justice to your legacy. And I said, how many of those leaders, you know, he's known for having 16 former employees go on to be CEOs. Yeah. I'm one of them. I said, how many of those are women? And he said, 9 of the 16 are women, which is way beyond the odds.
Yeah.
It's a lot stronger than what we are statistically in leadership as a gender, so amongst in our leadership of our movement. So it means a lot for me personally, but I think that what we're doing is we're getting deliberate about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so we've got this sort of perfect storm moment with Global Women's Leadership Network.
We
want to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. This is a somewhat mature effort, and so I think that's why we're seeing the uplift.
What was the experience like in the room yesterday during the meet? Because it's also the 10th anniversary.
It really is.
As well. And so what goes on in there? What really gets people fired up in there? I mean, I'm sure the stories are amazing, what goes on, like you mentioned before. Very humbling.
It is. And Sue Mitchell is just a human spark plug. I can't even begin to fathom how much energy she has. It's amazing.
Yeah.
She said, okay, you know, and she's very animated when she talks. I guess I kind of am too.
Yeah.
But she says, I wanted to know what's happening in Las Vegas, where she lives. She said, I want to know what's being done for women. And so she said she sniffed around and found out that Caesar's Palace, of all places, has a program where they're trying to identify sources of human trafficking, sex trafficking. And she said, here we are, you know, thinking that Las Vegas is as far removed as you might imagine from, you know, being a place where women get lifted up in leadership. She didn't say that, I'm paraphrasing. But, you know, and she finds this really wonderful, important, and, you know, gravitational pull toward lifting women up. So you tell a story like that in a room full of women, you know, we all got a little bit, I don't know, I felt something. I felt some butterflies.
Yeah.
That's an important moment. we're doing good work, mm-hmm. and we're, she, in her case, she connected what Caesars is doing with what Global Women's is doing. Mm-hmm. Who does that but Susan Mitchell?
Right, you know? Right.
So there's just a lot of excitement about what can be done and what we can connect to.
Yeah, and what does the announcement of your former employer, Co-op Financial Services, their support over the next 10 years, what does that mean? I mean, you worked there for a while, and what does that mean to you to have your former employer just doing something amazing like that, and continuing the tradition, actually, of what they've been doing all along?
They were one of the original founders, founding funders, and I was so proud, and I got all choked up. I'm such a baby. I got all choked up because I thought this is so meaningful, and to be so selective and specific about how to lift up the movement, and you know, put a cherry on the top of those 10 years. Yeah. I think that I was so proud, so proud to see them do that.
That's pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Anything else on the Global Women's Leadership Network you want to talk about?
You know, I could talk all day.
I'm sure you
can. Yeah, it's a wonderful time. I love seeing all the pink here, and I love seeing how it's exploding.
Yeah, there's the sister society in India, Cambodia. What are the other kind of places that they're cropping up?
They're all over Asia. There are 25 now sister societies in Asia alone. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's grown in a crazy way.
Yeah. In a good way. Yeah, for sure. What else do you want to take back to the league from the conference here? Obviously, there's a lot of talk about technology and then obviously regulation, all that type of stuff. Is there anything specific that you want to see here?
This opening keynote speaker, I cannot begin to pronounce his last name because I think it had 13 letters and only 3 of them were vowels. So he got up and he talked about, you know, what's happening in automation with, you know, self-driving cars and what Tesla's doing and it was mind-blowing, and then it's also disruptive because it talks about, you know, the number one most disrupted job in the next, I think the span was about 10 years, is loan officer.
Really?
Yeah. He had a long list of titles, and loan officer was number one most disrupted job because of what automation can do and what smart contracts can do, how blockchain can come in and, you know, kind of keep the chain of custody of important, sensitive data. You know, we have to be looking at that. We have to understand how our industry might get nibbled on or consumed by something from the fringes.
Yeah, you see it already. I mean, I'm getting emails from Square saying, "Hey, we'll be your small business loan officer. You've been approved for a $25,000 loan. Let us be your loan officer."
Right.
I'm like, Square? Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
so, and I get all sorts of things like that.
Yeah, they told a story. Actually, this keynote said that Alibaba, which is the huge money movement system in Asia, mm-hmm. now they have opened, they just sort of parenthetically decided to open a money market account for all those people who had deposits in their Alibaba account. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we saw this 10 years ago with Starbucks, right? They had like $1 billion in balances on Starbucks.
Just sitting there.
Here we are, you know, 10 years hence, and we've got this P2P app that's used like crazy in Asia. And they said, hey, what if we gave people a chance to open a money market account with the funds that are in there? And overnight, they became the largest holder of money market accounts in the world. And so, wow, we didn't really see that coming. So we have to stay attuned. And we have to know how these new consumer-friendly apps can eat away at what we've got, and we've got to be vigilant.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to get too far off topic here, but another thing that happened to me recently through Amazon, I bought like $1,000 piece of Wi-Fi equipment or whatever, because I'm a geek and I like that type of stuff.
I saw you rolling your gear in yesterday.
Oh yeah, it's all over the place. Oh my gosh, it's nutty. It's nutty. How's it going?
Hi, Carol Beach.
But when I bought this thing, they gave me the option to pay for the whole thing up front or in 5 simple payments, no interest, no nothing, you can buy this. And so just as an experiment, I said, I'll try the 5 payments.
Yes.
And it was basically a loan.
Yes.
And no strings attached, no nothing. And every month they go, hey, we're going to deduct this amount from your card. Yeah. I went, what? And I saw that credit unions need to be aware of this.
Yes, all of that vertical integration.
It was so easy. Yeah. There was nothing to it.
Yeah.
It was a button.
I'm a lazy consumer, so yeah. I am very attracted by that thing. And yet I'm so loyal to credit unions, so I'm sort of torn. And,
right.
And so I think I live in a place where I can bring those consumer experiences and just, you know, talk to the credit unions that are in my membership and say, these are the kinds of things we need to stand guard against. And not just from a defensive standpoint, there may be times when we can partner with these fintechs and find a better way to serve members.
Yeah, indeed. All right, I don't want to get too far off topic. Speaking of off topic, I saw a tweet this morning, Caroline Willard. It was this information or an article or something like that from the ABA.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get on your soapbox here in a second.
I just went,
we got to talk to her about that a little bit. You want to real quickly address what's going on here?
Well, you know, I'm trying really hard not to roll my eyes right now. Really, really hard.
You're doing a good job.
Okay, check me if I do. But so American Bankers Association is using a really old tactic, and that's saying that, you know, large credit unions are overreaching their mission and they've grown too fast, too far. And it's just ridiculous, and it's the same playbook that they've been using. But now what we're seeing them do is localize it. We are seeing this in Arkansas, for example. There is a new head of the Arkansas Bankers Association, and she's young and energetic. She's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but respect for what she's got to offer.
Right.
But she is ripping a page from that playbook, and she's using that same set of talking points locally. And so the tweet, you know, was from American Bankers Association, and they were saying, oh my gosh, these large credit unions don't look anything like credit unions anymore. They should be taxed.
Yeah.
Okay, there was an eye roll. I think that was an eye roll.
I think it was just a half an eye roll.
Okay,
just
all
a
right.
Half one.
Thank
partial.
You for your grace. I appreciate that. But my fact check was, all right, here's a graph of the last few decades of credit union growth, and it's, you know, it's like an EKG of someone who's died. You know,
yeah,
it's a flat line.
Constant.
And,
you
know, of course we want to see that grow.
Yeah.
But the reality is, who is growing are the large banks and at the expense of the community bankers.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not credit unions growing at the expense of anyone else. And by the way, we need to fix that.
Exactly.
Credit unions need to grow. So I was fact checking this American Bankers Association tweet because it's just erroneous. It's not even true.
And it's out there, and it's out there, and people are reading it. It's almost like fake news, you know?
It is 100% fake news,
yes.
And the reason too, that it makes me nuts is even the largest credit union is still not a bank. We still have the core mission and values of being a credit union, of people helping people, serving people of modest means. That has not changed.
Right.
And so even though some credit unions are happening to serve people who have maybe something more than modest means, it still doesn't make them a bank.
Right.
It still doesn't make them subject to taxation.
Indeed.
It's just crazy.
Indeed. And I think that we were talking before the recording, this is a fight that's just going to go on.
Oh, gosh.
Till the end of time.
Decades.
Whenever
this decades.
Exactly.
Yeah. Long after we're retired.
Exactly. It'll still be going on. Yeah. All right. Anything else to add, Caroline? I think I want to come first full circle and talk about the Global Women's Leadership Network and what it's doing for the industry and how it's, again, furthering the credit union mission, you know? Speaking of, I mean,
it really is.
There's a bow tie right there for you to tie it up.
It's just, I think it's one of the better things that we do, because one of the things I'm super concerned about is the war for talent, and we've got to attract really good people into this movement, and if women don't see a place for themselves in leadership amongst credit union organizations, we're not going to attract 50% of the population as potential leaders.
Right.
And so we've got to do a good job. We've got to ensure the future sustainability and leadership of this movement. And so that's why I'm passionate about this.
And I talked to Brian Branch yesterday about it, and obviously he bounces around the globe and stuff, and he's saying Global Women's Leadership Network provides hope for a lot of women around the world who say, oh my gosh, I can be an executive? Are you kidding me? Wow.
Right.
So that's another thing, kind of an intangible thing that it really makes an impact, you know? And it's tremendous.
Yes.
Tremendous.
And hope is an intangible, and it's something that I certainly hope we can build. And I love being here. I love the energy and the
water. Energy,
I love seeing all the different flags go up yesterday. And so it's just an exciting time to be here.
Yep.
And certainly, you know, my main focus of being here is for GWLN. And so super happy.
Right on. Well, you keep up the good work in your neck of the woods
Thank you.
Caroline. Always a pleasure having you here in the studio lounge, no matter where we are.
No matter where we are.
On the planet. So appreciate the time. Caroline Willard, Cornerstone Credit Union League. Go check them out. Good job.